In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, because we must all appear before the judgment throne of Christ, and because we must not be found in sin when he returns, and above all, because he himself has shed his blood to grant us pardon and to seal us for that day, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to him and to plead for the mercy he himself has bought for us. Lord Jesus Christ, our judge and our redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Therefore, we flee to find refuge in your holy wounds, looking and pleading for your grace now and on the day of judgment.
Merciful Savior, you bore our judgment on the cross to save us from damnation. Have mercy on us and forgive us all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will and true obedience to your word, so that we may await your coming with joy, stand before you without fear, by your grace alone, enter with you into the endless world to come. Amen.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of thy office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
In keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth.
The home of righteousness.
O Lord, make me know my end and what is the measure of my days.
Let me know how fleeting I am.
Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths.
And my lifetime is as nothing before you.
And now, O Lord, for what do I wait?
My hope is in you.
Deliver me from all my transgressions.
Do not make me the scorn of the fool.
Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Hold not your peace at my tears.
For I am a sojourner with you, a guest like all my fathers.
Thank you.
Eternal God, merciful Father, you have appointed your Son as judge of the living and the dead. Enable us to wait for the day of his return with our eyes fixed on the kingdom prepared for your own from the foundation of the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the last Sunday of the church year is from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, the 34th chapter. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep. And I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered, on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples, and gather them from the countries. And I will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. They shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord. I will seek out the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak. And the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at the weak with your horns till you have scattered them abroad. I will rescue my flock, and they shall no longer be prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep, and I will set up over them as one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David shall be the prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
He is our God.
And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand.
O come, let us sing to the Lord.
Let us make the joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving.
Let us make the joyful noise to him with songs of praise.
For the Lord is a great God.
And a great King above all gods.
In his hand are the depths of the earth.
The heights of the mountains are his also.
The sea is his, for he made it.
And his hands formed the dry land.
O come, let us worship and bow down.
Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For he is our God.
And we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
He is our God.
And we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's first letter to the Church of Corinth, the 15th chapter. Brothers, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have been fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all shall die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and every power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjugation under his feet. But when it says, all things are put in subjugation, it is plain that he is expected who puts all things in subjugation under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjugation under him, that God may be all in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations. And he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?' Then he will answer them, saying, 'Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." This is the gospel of the Lord. He shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
As the lightning flashes from east to west, the Son of Man will come in his Father's glory with his holy angels to reward everyone according to what each has done. He will come like a thief in the night. One will be taken and the other left.
I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
The skies will disappear with a roar, the elements will disintegrate in the heat, and the earth and everything on it will be burned.
I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
He will send his angels with a loud trumpet call and gather his chosen from the four winds, He will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air.
I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
We will all stand before Christ's judgment seat. Each of us will give an account of himself to God.
I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
He will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels."
I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
He will say to those on his right, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world."
I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
He will change our lowly bodies to be like his own glorious body. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
We look for new heavens and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Then the righteous shall shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom, and we shall be with the Lord forever, whose kingdom shall have no end.
I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Great, we confess, is the mystery of our faith. Jesus died.
Jesus died.
Jesus rose.
Jesus rose.
Jesus will come again.
Jesus will come again.
I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, Christ is coming again. Our gospel reading from Matthew 25, especially the first three verses. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left." This is our text. The same Jesus who ascended to the right hand of the Father will come again in glory. Already crowned, even now enthroned, every eye shall see him at last. Not just the living, but even the dead. They shall all be raised, and King Jesus will gather them for the judgment. He will judge them. He will judge us. He will judge all who have ever lived. And what will it be like when he comes to judge the living and the dead? We heard what Jesus said. He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Now, we should be clear, unlike some of the other sayings of Jesus, this isn't simply a parable, just a story. We should think of this as a future event in apocalyptic language. And what will happen to the sheep? What will happen to the goats? The blessed sheep come and inherit the kingdom prepared for them from the foundation of the world. But the cursed goats depart into everlasting fire, prepared not for them, but for the devil and his angels. The key thing there that you ought to notice, when it speaks about the eternal fire, it speaks of it as being prepared not for people, but for the devil and his angels. In other words, the God of life and salvation doesn't prepare or get ready to condemn anyone. He doesn't mark out certain people as those who are predestined for hell. That's not his way. That's not what he wants. That's not why Jesus went to the cross. You know, he came to save all people. But the eternal fire is what they want, the unbelievers, because the last thing they want is to be with God. That's the sad truth, the sad reality. And so in the end, they get what they want. Now, I know the teaching of Scripture on hell makes us sad and it makes us uncomfortable. And that might be why so many people deny it or avoid it. Perhaps you've thought this as well. People think, well, you know, I don't think God would really do that. God is love, after all. As if we could be a better God than he. As if you or I could be more just or more gracious than the God who made all of us. God's word is clear. The death and resurrection of Jesus, his only son, only the death and resurrection of Jesus, his Son, takes away the sin and the guilt that separate us sinners from God. It all hangs on that, on what Jesus has done. If our sin isn't on us, then it must be on him, paid for by his blood. And those who have that, forgiveness of sins, have also life and salvation. They have everything. But those who don't have that, all depends on the Son. All depends on being in the Good Shepherd's flock. Now, you may be thinking that that doesn't sound quite the same as what Jesus said in our gospel reading today. Doesn't Jesus point to works and not faith? Doesn't he point to all the things the sheep did and all the things the goats failed to do? All that they should have done to the least of these? Isn't that what makes the difference between the sheep and the goats? If that's what it sounds like to you, then I invite you to pay closer attention and listen with greater care. And I don't only mean to the gospel reading, although certainly to that, but to what you hear again and again and again in the life of the church, because you already know better than that. You know what the scriptures say, that we are saved by grace and not by works. You hear it all year in the readings and in the sermons, and you sing it in the hymns and the liturgy, and we just confessed it over and over again. I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. What Jesus accomplished on the cross, we receive by grace through faith. And yet the truth is that so many Christians, even some of us who swim in grace all year long, some of us who are so confident in Christ, when we stare at the final judgment, we become terrified. When we think about the last day, we begin to shake and squirm. We come to the last day and it's like we throw out everything we ever knew or heard. We just throw it out the window. And we think that it really is about us after all. It really is about what we do in the end. That we'll finally get what's coming to us and answer for each and every sinful thought, word, deed, and desire we've ever had. When we come to the end, we act as if the Good Shepherd is going to break his staff, tear off his mask, and turn into a horrible and strict judge. Just kidding about all that shepherd stuff. Wouldn't Satan love for us to die believing that? But that's not, in fact, how it will be. You don't have to fear the last day. You don't have to live in dread of what's coming. The same Jesus who is your good shepherd now will be your good shepherd on that day too. The very same shepherd who led you by the quiet baptismal waters and who feeds you from his table, who comforts you with his word, and who tells you over and over and over again that your sins are forgiven. The same shepherd who watches over you, who leads you through the valley of the shadow of death, your loved ones, your own. He will not stop being your shepherd. That's what Jesus tells us. When he gathers all nations and he separates people, he will simply be doing the job of a shepherd. He'll separate the sheep from the goats. And while that might be challenging for you or for me, you can guarantee that will not be hard for a shepherd. One glance, and he can tell who belongs to him and who doesn't. He'll separate them out based on what they are. A sheep, a goat, and not on what they've done. All that talk about what they've done or what they haven't done, all of that comes later, after he makes the separation. That is secondary. So what does Jesus mean about all of that? By pointing out what the sheep did and the goats didn't do, doesn't that muddy the waters? Doesn't that make it messier? Doesn't that complicate faith? Actually, no, it doesn't. In fact, it helps make things even clearer. Because first of all, what we see in that separation and in the judging of them is that the shepherd is fair and just in his judgment. The goats can't object and say that they were put in the wrong group because there's no mistake. By their lives, they showed exactly who they were. Maybe not in the ways that we would notice. We often judge wrongly. You know how it is. We see only the surface, only the outside, but God knows the heart, and he sees the heart. And think about what the goat said. Well, when didn't we do these things for you? We thought we did everything we needed to. We think we've been good enough. That's how the goats respond. And you know, they might have been good goats. They might have been the very best goats of all, but no goat, not even the best, is a sheep. The best unbeliever is still an unbeliever who rejects Jesus and his forgiveness. But there's another reason that Jesus goes into this description of what the goats didn't do and the sheep didn't do. It's because these words serve the sheep. These words are a blessing. The words to the sheep are a blessing to you and me. Unlike the goats, the sheep think, in fact, they not only think, they know that they haven't been good enough. You heard what they said. When did we do it? We didn't do that. You must not be talking about me. That may sound familiar. They look at their lives and they see all the ways they've fallen short. They know the good that they should have done and didn't do, and they know the bad that they did do and shouldn't have done. And they say, "Who will deliver me from this body of death?" And that's us, isn't it? We look at our lives and we say, "I haven't done enough. I haven't done it, not what I should." And we're right, we're exactly right about that. And you know, that's often what happens as Christians grow in their faith. The more time we spend with Christ, the more time we spend in his word, the more clearly we begin to see and understand our sin. Instead of being on this upward trajectory, where as a Christian, I see that I'm getting better and better all the time, we discover that we've actually been worse than we thought. We become more keenly aware of the horrible reality of our sin. We don't see the good. We certainly don't see the good enough. So we say we're sorry. We turn to Christ. We fall on our knees. We cry out for mercy. We receive more forgiveness. Forgiveness. That's what gives us confidence that our works, more confidence than our works could ever give. Those words from Jesus, "I forgive you all your sins," that gives us a solid place to stand when the judgment comes on the last day. And that's what Jesus says. His sheep know they haven't been good enough. And yet that's not how Jesus sees it. Jesus looks at the sheep. He says, "Enough! Enough already! You're my sheep. Even the little things you do, even the little things are precious to me." It doesn't matter if the world sees it. It doesn't matter if the world knows it or if the world values it. I count it as done to me. All the little things. Why, you've probably forgotten most of them. Maybe you never knew about them in the first place. I remember them. The things that seem like no big deal, that I choose to make a big deal over. The things that you simply did because of who you are, mine. I know. When you cared for little children, when you provided for your family, when you took food to the person in need, when you donated the coat for the one without, when you visited the lonely and the isolated, you spoke a kind word to the brokenhearted or put that letter in the mail. Jesus said, "You did it to me. I have wiped out your sin. I have earned your eternal life. And that's what makes you who you are, a sheep of my flock, one who belongs to the good shepherd. And I love what my sheep have done as they follow me, as you follow me. Come and receive the inheritance prepared for you." The sheep have an inheritance from Jesus. And there's another reminder, right? I mean, which of us, if we receive an inheritance, would say, "Look at what I've done"? An inheritance is a gift. It's always a gift. And so it is here. You have an inheritance. That's your reality. You received it in your baptism. An inheritance stored up for you in heaven, prepared for you before the foundation of the world, because even before you were born, he wanted you to be his and he wanted you to live with him. What it means is this: you have riches beyond anything you could possibly imagine or understand. You have riches that will never run out.
Your life in this world as a Christian is simply living off and living out of that inheritance. So now what? If you believe this, how will you live? What will you do? Will you live as if this world is all there is, or will you live differently? You see, this is how our Lord enables us to wait for the day of His return, with our eyes fixed on the kingdom that He has prepared for us before the foundation of the world. Our eyes are not just fixed on tomorrow, or on Tuesday, or the day after, or next Sunday, or whatever it might be. Our eyes are fixed on the kingdom prepared for us. Not on ourselves, not on what we are able to do, not on what we have failed to do. Our eyes are fixed on the King and on His kingdom and on all that He has done for us and all that He gives to us. And that's when we see things rightly. That's when we are prepared for the last day. And you know, Satan is always trying to get our eyes off of Christ and His kingdom and His gifts and back on ourselves. That's what he wants. To get us to look at anything besides Christ and His death and resurrection for us. He wants us to be thinking about our own lives, our own works, and so be trembling on the last day. But you have chosen a different way. You are here to have your eyes fixed on Jesus, and so they are. Your eyes locked on the bridegroom and His bride, the church. I mean, it almost looks like a wedding taking place, doesn't it? The Good Shepherd is both good, and He is our Shepherd, not just now, but for all eternity. And the Good Shepherd is the one who has His eyes fixed on you. He is the one who set this table for you in the presence of your enemies, in the midst of this sinful and unbelieving world, and in the face of our own sin and death and hell and Satan. So fix your eyes on Him now. Here. Fix your eyes on the forgiveness of sins and the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Taste and see that the Lord is good and that He is a good shepherd. So that when He comes again on that last and glorious day, you will not be caught trembling or in fear, but radiant and joyful and eager. As Jesus would have His sheep be. You know, the sheep are eager to see the Good Shepherd, to have the Master return, and so are we. That day can't come soon enough, which is why we pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. The day when He will have you and me and all His flock finally together with Him forever and free. And that's what He wants. And that's why He came. And that's why He died. And that's why He's coming again. Amen. For you. Blessed now and forever are all who take refuge in Him. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Oh, yeah. thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Congregation may be seated. I'd like to invite forward those being welcomed as new members today, Amy Gibson, Greg and Tim Smith, Natalie and Lana, Stan and Mary Lou Thompson. Beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ said to his apostles, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Lift up your hearts, therefore, to the God of all grace, and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. Do you this day in the presence of God and of this congregation acknowledge the gifts that God gave you in your baptism?
Yes, thanks.
Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways?
Yes, I renounce that.
Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God, and the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from them and confessed in the Small Catechism to be faithful and true?
I do.
Do you intend to hear the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully?
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you intend to live according to the word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death?
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it?
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you desire to become a member of this congregation?
I do.
Will you support the work our gracious Lord has given this congregation with your prayers and the gifts God has given you?
I will, with the help of God.
We rejoice with thankful hearts that you have been baptized and have received this teaching of the Lord. You have confessed the faith and been absolved of your sins. As you continue to hear the Lord's word and receive his blessed sacrament, he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Amy, if you would kneel. Amy, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. Upon this, your confession, I acknowledge publicly that you are members of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and of this congregation. Receive the Lord's Supper and participate with us in all the blessings of salvation that our Lord has given to his church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please stand. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your great goodness in bringing Amy, Stan and Mary Lou, Greg and Kim, Natalie and Lana to the knowledge of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and enabling them both with the heart to believe and with the mouth to confess his saving name. Grant that bringing forth the fruits of faith, they may continue steadfast and victorious to the day when all who have fought the good fight of faith shall receive the crown of righteousness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Pray. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the people of God's pasture gathered from all nations, that they may gladly feast upon his riches in the means of grace and declare his praises to all who will hear, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For God's pastors, that through their service in his word, our good shepherd would be pleased
continually to seek the lost, bring back the strayed, bind up the injured, and strengthen the weak. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our living nativity, that the Lord would unite us in this work, grant us good health, provide all that we need for this year, and use it to make his salvation in Jesus Christ known. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the joy and blessings of holy marriage, especially for the gift of 60 years of marriage granted to Eldon and Debbie, that the Holy Spirit would assist all husbands and wives to live together in faithfulness and love, honoring and keeping their marriage vows, and that those who are young, single, or widowed might likewise lead chaste and decent lives according to their calling and be blessed with deep Christian friendships. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in civil authority, that God would sustain them in their governance until on the last day this world's powers pass away. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all in need of help, healing, and comfort, including Natalie, Rick, Matthew, Anne, Louise, Martha, Ted, Michelle, Amy, Stan, Luann, Amanda, Hattie, Al and Bernie, and Blair, that God would preserve them, deliver them from their transgressions, hear their cries, and grant them peace. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who commune this day, that the God of all grace would endow his people with penitent hearts to receive the risen Christ's body and blood, and with him the hope of the resurrection from death to eternal life. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the saints who have fallen asleep in Jesus, including Karen, Keith, Nancy, and Dean, let us give thanks to the Lord, and that God would comfort all who mourn, especially Al and Evelyn and Diane, those who mourn the death of Sally Ross, including George and Brenda, and those who mourn the death of Scott Rocky, especially Sarah and Chad, and that he would impress upon all of us the conviction that death is defeated as we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Almighty God, you have prepared your kingdom for us from the foundation of the world. Preserve us in faith and love throughout our days, that we may care for your servants and our neighbors with compassion and joy, looking toward that day when the Son of Man comes in his glory. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right that we do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, in the communion of all your saints gathered into the one body of your Son. You have surrounded us with so great a cloud of witnesses that we, encouraged by their faith and strengthened by their fellowship, may run with perseverance the race that is set before us, and together with them receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Oh,
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
We praise you, O God. We acknowledge you to be the Lord. All the earth now worships you, the Father everlasting. To you all angels cry aloud, the heavens and all the powers therein. To you cherubim and seraphim continually do cry, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of Sabaoth. Heaven and earth are full of the majesty of your glory." The glorious company of the apostles praise you. The godly fellowship of the prophets praise you. The noble army of martyrs praise you. The holy church throughout all the world does acknowledge you, the Father of an infinite majesty. Your adorable, true, and only Son, also the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. You are the King of glory, O Christ. You are the everlasting Son of the Father. When you took upon yourself to deliver man, you humbled yourself to be born of a virgin. When you had overcome the sharpness of death, you opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. You sit at the right hand of God in the glory of the Father. We believe that you will come to be our judge. We therefore pray you to help your servants, whom you have redeemed with your precious blood. Make them to be numbered with your saints in glory everlasting. O Lord, save your people and bless your heritage. Govern them and lift them up forever. Day by day we magnify you and we worship your name forever and ever. Grant, O Lord, to keep us this day without sin. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us. O Lord, let your mercy be upon us, as your trust, our trust, is in you. O Lord, in you have I trusted. Let me never be confounded.
Depart in peace.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Thank you for coming to us veiled in bread with wine. Let what our bodies have received produce faith and love in our souls, that you may be pleased with us when you come unveiled to judge us and never to leave us again.
Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.